then bit the noise back with an obvious effort as Alex frowned at her. The mages were crying out as well, voices echoing around the clearing. Jasper was looking over at Gwenda, his face creased with concern. Tamara just shook her head, looking grim. Master Rufus stepped forward into the blackened circle.
"Alex, strike,"
he said. Alex laughed.
"Master Rufus," he said. "Joseph used to talk about you all the time, the great mage who'd taught Constantine Madden. But being your assistant didn't reveal any greatness. Constantine was something in spite of you, not because of you."
He flicked his eyes in Cole's direction, his mouth stretching into a grin.
"After all, look how badly you've done with Colum."
"You may do to me as you did to Graves," said Rufus,
and Cole tensed. He didn't think he could stand it if Alex wiped his teacher off the face of the world. He'd have to break free of his manacles, and that would ruin everything.
"But then you will get nothing you want. It will be war with the mage community, and as you said, you don't want that. You want to be left alone."
"True," said Alex, examining his nails.
"It would be easier for you as well if the ordinary world didn't know about mages," said Rufus. "Think of what you could do. You could use your magic to trick them and make millions."
Alex laughed. "Maybe you are brilliant, Rufus."
"All right. I'll keep the magic to myself."
He turned his glimmering, star-filled eyes on Kimaya.
"Come along, darling. Don't you still love me?"
Kimaya smiled brilliantly. Cole felt uneasy as she ran across the grass toward Alex and hugged his arm. Either she was giving a bravura performance or she was going to betray them all. Alex leaned down to kiss her. Tamara made a revolted noise. Thankfully, it was a short kiss, and Alex broke away, grinning, his arms slung over Kimaya's shoulders.
"Have the hostages step forward," Alex said. "Have them walk toward the tower entrance."
Cole looked over at Tamara. Her gaze found his. At least they were in this together. Aaron, too, the three of them against the world. Who'd known that when Rufus had picked them, they would become the most important people in Cole's life? He looked over at Jasper, at his determined face. Cole had never thought they would be friends at all. But somehow, whenever his life had needed saving, Jasper had been there, holding out a hand. Usually with a sarcastic quip, but still there.
He took a step forward, and the others did the same. They moved across the grass onto the ground where it turned into gravel.
It was still churned up from the feet of the mages who'd worked on building the tower. Havoc ran to his side, keeping his furred body protectively tight against Cole's leg. Cole turned to look back over his shoulder. The mages of the assembly seemed very far away. He could just see Gwenda and Rufus. With a flick of his wrist, Alex sent a blaze of chaos fire toward them all. Cole bit back a yell as he realized Alex wasn't attacking. He was throwing up a blockade. The fire rose in an endless wall that curved around them, cutting off Jasper, Cole, Tamara, Kimaya, Havoc, and Alex from the mages, but allowing them access to the tower. Alex sneered.
"Let's go see our new home. Colum, you can lead the way."
With a last look at the fire separating him from Master Rufus, Cole shuffled toward the door of the tower, a heavy wooden thing. He couldn't open it, so he just stood there until one of the chaos elementals walked over. It snaked out a tentacle toward the door, but where it touched, there was just a hole where the knob had been.
Automatones! Alex shouted. You do it!
The massive, metal elemental loomed up out of the smoke that surrounded them and advanced on the door. Cole stared. They'd all fought automatones once and nearly been killed. Automatones lurched up to the front doors, his eyes, which were gears, whirring and spinning. His hand shot out, and a vibrating, buzzing blade appeared at the end of it. He sawed at the door until a large chunk of it fell open, crashing onto the ground. Alex is going to have to get that door fixed, Cole thought. Definitely not a long-term planning kind of guy. Automatones stepped back, and they all headed inside with varying degrees of reluctance. The first floor was a large, round room, entirely empty, except for a rug and a spiral staircase winding upward. Cole went up, and the others followed. The second floor was all one huge room with massive windows through which Cole could see the tops of trees. There were multiple couches and a small kitchen, along with a large screen like the one in the gallery where Alex used to project movies. Since Cole wasn't sure where Alex wanted him to go, he stopped there, walking toward the far corner. Tamara followed him. Then Jasper. Now, Cole said to them. He pulled three times on his cuffs and his hands were free. Then he brought the whistle to his mouth and blew. No sound came out. Only a wild wind that raced around the room to coalesce as Alastair and then to disappear again. Beside him, Lucas manifested, and then Greta. But both of them were gone by the time Alex walked into the room. Cole had his hands behind his back, even though they were no longer bound. Tamara and Jasper did the same. Alex smiled in a smug way, walking around to admire his new digs, billowing cloaks swishing around behind him. He was holding one of Kimaya's hands. Cole thought the smile on her face seemed forced.
He hoped it was forced. Pretty nice here, isn't it?
Alex said, waving an arm around to indicate the whole space, the marble floor, the big couches with their cushions, the enormous TV.
Mom! I'm home.
Anastasia,
Aaron thought. Of course, she's somewhere in here.
Alex?
They all stood still as Anastasia came wafting down the staircase from above. She wore a white dress and a sort of gossamer white overcloak. Her icy hair was bound up in a tight knot. She looked at Cole for a long, steady moment. He couldn't read her expression. He felt chilled inside. What if she'd seen what had happened to Graves out the window? What if she was reconsidering everything?
Calm down, Aaron said. You don't know that.
But he sounded scared, too. Anastasia crossed the room to stand near Alex, who beamed. He looked over at Cole, wearing a sneer that seemed exaggerated in a practiced-in-the-mirror kind of way.
You really thought the Magisterium valued your lives enough to save you, didn't you, Cole Hunt?
He laughed.
But they handed the three of you right over. They're cowards, just like all the mages. I read all those books in Master Joseph's house, and what I thought when I read them was how weak we'd become. Mages used to be something. They used to use their power for something other than keeping people safe from elementals. Soon you're going to be dead, Colum. And then everyone will have to acknowledge that I'm the greatest mage of any generation, the one who defeated the enemy of death.
You didn't defeat me, Cole said. The Magisterium tied me up, not you.
No one cares about technical details!
Alex yelled.
No one cares about the real story. Do you think people cared about the fact that Constantine loved his brother or that his mother loved him? No, because that's boring. And they won't care how easy the Magisterium made it to kill you either. They will just care that I did it.
But not Tamara, right? Kimaya said. She's my sister.
Alex hesitated.
She's loyal to my enemy, Kimaya.
Perhaps we kill the two boys and lock the girl in the dungeon, said Anastasia soothingly.
This place has a dungeon? Said Jasper.
Of course it has a dungeon, snapped Alex. And don't speak unless I speak to you, De Winter. You should have been loyal to me. Your father was loyal to Master Joseph.
My father was wrong,
Jasper said quietly. Cole stared. He didn't think he'd ever heard Jasper say that before.
I told you not to speak!
Alex yelled.
Or you're going to do what? Said Jasper.
Kill me?
Enough, said Cole. Maybe nobody has to die. Maybe we could make some sort of deal.
No deals, Hunt,
Alex said.
This time you don't have anything I want. I don't care about bringing people back from the dead. I care about power, and I care about revenge.
He grinned.
I want you to line up in front of me, he said,
and the black stars in his eyes were glowing like pinpricks.
First Tamara, then Jasper, then you, Cole. I'm going to kill you in that order, and you're going to watch your friends die, Makar.
You said you wouldn't hurt Tamara,
Kimaya shrieked.
I changed my mind, said Alex, raising his hand.
It was shimmering with dark light, a halo of blackness around his fingers. Kimaya darted away from him, reaching for the matchbook with shaking hands. Alex whirled toward her, smoke wreathing his hands. Cole turned to look at Tamara and Jasper, both of them pale, but they shook their heads at him as if to say, not quite yet.
Just what are you doing?
Alex demanded of Kimaya.
I was just...
Kimaya said, but then her words seemed to run out. She backed away from Alex's approach, clearly terrified. The matchbook dropped out of her hands.
You're really going to betray me?
Alex demanded.
Me? Who was going to save you from your boring old life?
This isn't what you said it would be like, Kimaya said. You never told me you were going to hurt people.
So you conspired against me with these losers?
Alex shook his head. He lifted his hand and a bolt of chaos grew from his palm. Tamara flew at him, abandoning the pretense of having bound hands. He swung his arm with the strength of chaos, flinging her aside, and Cole's hands flew apart too, rage filling him. How dare Alex touch Tamara? How dare he threaten his friends? He was still summoning chaos inside himself when Alex let fly a bolt of black fire. It shot straight at Kimaya. Chaos exploded from Cole's hand at the same moment. The two forks of dark lightning met in the air. Neither dissolved, though. They slammed into each other and ricocheted into the wall of the tower, blowing the stone to powder.
Whoa!
Said Jasper. Cole agreed. The chaos had smashed through rock, metal, and glass, and now there was a truck-sized hole in the wall of the tower. On the other side of the hole, Cole could see the field in front of the tower. The wall of chaos fire was dying down, though it looked like the mages still couldn't cross it. A lot of them were gaping up at the tower, though, a few pointing and gasping. Then, Automatones' massive metal face filled the space. Kimaya screamed. Tamara reached for her sister and yanked her down onto the ground. The acorn skittered from her hand. Jasper knocked the bottle of water out of his pocket, and it hit the floor, leaking water everywhere. Call pulled the whistle from his pocket, gripping it tightly in his hand. Anastasia leaned down and seized the matchbook. Alex turned toward Call, his smirk plastered back on.
Oh, so you thought you were going to fight me. That's why you came here willingly. The Magisterium and the Assembly are going to pay for setting me up, but you're going to pay first.
Am I? Said Call.
I am Chaos! Alex shouted. I have become the Void!
Oh, shut up, said Call. No one's interested. Alex gaped at him. Call couldn't help it. He'd started to grin because behind Alex, Alastair was swirling into being, air coalescing to form his towering shape. Havoc barked as Lucas rose out of the puddle on the floor, shimmering and silver. And from Tamara's smashed acorn, Greta emerged, a river of dirt and earth reaching upward.
What is this?
Alex whirled around, raising his hand again. He stared in disbelief.
They're devoured! But why are they here? Why are you here?
Anastasia! Call called.
Strike a match!
Her pale eyes turned to him, her expression strange. Mom! You were supposed to say Mom! Aaron reminded him. But it was too late. Call hadn't, and now she knew he'd been lying to her. Everything was going wrong. Anastasia took a step toward Call, her eyes flashing. A gray blur flew between them. It was Havoc, who clamped his jaws down on Anastasia's wrist. She screamed and dropped the matches. Alex sent another bolt of chaos flying at Havoc, but the wolf leaped out of the way, and the black fire smashed into the wall of the tower. More stone crumbled.
You're making me ruin my tower!
Alex shouted at Call.
You always ruin everything!
Call couldn't deny it. More than being a Makar, that was pretty much his superpower. Kimaya had the matches again. In shaking hands, she pulled one out and struck it. It caught a light, and then Ravon was there, flaring to life. She looked at her sisters, and a wicked smile grew on her face.
Get ready,
Call said under his breath.
Ready, said Aaron.
What are you doing?
Alex shouted as the devoured rushed toward him. It was like the world was collapsing in on itself. Every element colliding with chaos, the force of air, the burning heat of fire, the relentlessness of water, the powerful weight of earth. They fell on Alex with the destructive power of 1,000 tornadoes ripping across fields, 1,000 volcanoes erupting with a force that blackened the sky, 1,000 earthquakes buckling and tearing cities apart, and 1,000 floods carrying away whole towns in a froth of churning, tearing water. They were human, but not human. Call shielded his face with his hand as they savagely tore the chaos that surrounded Alex, as they were ripping off bits with their hands, oily patches of nothingness that dissolved entirely in the air. Alex howled a great shriek of agony that sent a bolt of fear through Call. What if they killed him? What if they destroyed his body? That wasn't the plan. Automatones reared back his head and bellowed, then snapped his jaws toward Jasper. Jasper spun on his heel and flung fire at Automatones, blast after blast of flame that sent the metal monster reeling backward, his plates and gears glowing red with heat.
Good to see Jasper finally got the hang of fire, said Aaron.
Automatones staggered toward them again. The black fire of chaos had died down outside, and the mages were rushing at the tower, slamming at the closed doors below. The tower shook. Alex was still screaming. He tipped his head back with a howl, and darkness erupted from his eyes. Two long trails of blackness that shot up into the air. Kimaya was screaming her head off. Tamara was on her feet, making a shield of air to protect her. Alex turned his head to the side. He was surrounded by the devoured on all sides. Black tears leaked from his eyes. He held out a hand.
"Mother,"
he croaked.
"Mother!"
Anastasia staggered back from him, her face a mask of horror. Alex's face worked, and one last bolt of chaos shot from his hand. It was weak. Cole could feel its weakness, but strong enough. It hit Anastasia in the chest, lifting her off her feet and dropping her to the ground, a black hole seared across the front of her chest. Alex went limp.
"Now," said Aaron.
Cole called on everything he'd ever learned about the soul tap and sent his concentration spinning toward Alex. He could see Alex's soul. The glow and light of it no longer blackened with chaos. He felt it, almost as though he held it in his hands, pulsing and sparking, wrapped around with cords of hate, ambition, and pain. Cole could see the kid who had liked being popular, who liked being Master Rufus's assistant, but who never felt like it was enough. He saw the kid who had crafted elaborate illusions out of movies, weaving in his friends and himself, always himself, as the winner, the victor, the person who got everything in the end. Cole saw the part of Alex that had felt bereft when his father died, abandoned to a woman with her own agenda, her own obsession. He saw his ambition grow and bloom and twist. Saw his hatred of Cole, his resentment, his desire to be the winner. Cole saw all of that, saw Alex's soul, whole and human and flawed. With all his strength, Cole braced himself and tried to push it out of Alex's body. He felt a terrible echo in the deed. The body he lived in was stolen, and now he was stealing another, but even weak, Alex was a Makar, and he fought back. He pushed, too, straining against Cole's consciousness, forcing Cole's physical body to his knees.
"You will never defeat me,"
Alex's voice declared, echoing in Cole's head. For a moment, Cole felt uprooted, adrift. What if, because he wasn't born into his body, it was harder to stay in? What if he couldn't hold on, even as Aaron left him behind? Panic started to bloom in his chest. The weight of Alex pushing back shoved him flat against the ground, his elbows braced, shoulders straining.
"I can't do this," he thought. "I can't."
"Maybe one of us couldn't, but both of us will," came Aaron's voice, sure and strong. He joined his thoughts to Cole's, and together they surged back at Alex, thrusting him loose from the bright lines that moored his soul to his body, pushing him out. Pushing him out into nothing. The cords that bound Alex's soul to his body frayed and snapped. And he was gone, without even a scream or a cry. Cole didn't know where souls went. He guessed that no one did. But he was sure it was someplace far beyond the void. "Aaron," Cole thought. "Aaron, you have to go." It was as if he could feel Aaron's soul taking a shaking, hesitant breath. Cole reached for Aaron one last time, for his counterweight, for the soul that was the most familiar in the world to him. It was as if his hands were brushing over Aaron's soul, holding it for a moment, and letting it free. Alex's body jerked once, and he took a gasping breath. Aaron? Cole thought. Did it work? But there was no response. There was only an echoing silence in Cole's ears. He was alone. He hadn't realized how unused to being truly alone in his own head he was. Sound smashed in as Cole realized the battle had been raging on. The Chaos Dragon had eaten away another section of the tower. Dozens of mages had flown up to the tower's second level, helped by Alistair and the power of air, and were joining Jasper and Tamara in battling automatones. Greta, Lucas, and Ravan had also joined in. Greta was hurling rocks at the Chaos Elementals, Lucas was directing streams of superheated water at them, and Ravan was shooting bolts of fire. Inside the tower, Kimaya had Anastasia cradled in her lap and seemed to be trying to keep her from dying. Cole staggered to his feet.
Alex?
Alex opened his eyes. Kimaya gasped. They had returned to being blue, no longer black, and star-silvered. Coughing violently and looking dazed, Alex pushed himself up onto his knees. The gestures seemed familiar. He wasn't moving like Alex did. He was moving like Aaron. He had his gestures. Cole's heart leaped into his throat. Was he imagining it, or had their plan actually worked? Master Rufus came racing up the stairs and burst into the room. After him came Master North and Master Milagros. They stared at the scene in front of them. Anastasia dying, the devoured still hovering in the room, the huge chunks torn from the walls, and Alex in the middle of it all. Alex! Cole cried. Alex, stop the chaos creatures! Show them you're on our side now! Stop! Alex shouted, in a voice that was both like his usual voice and different. Stop, chaos creatures! I command you to stop! The dragon abruptly paused its movements. Automatones roared. From outside the tower there were more echoing sounds as the chaos creatures heard him.
Go back to chaos!
Alex cried.
Return to the place you came from!
More masters were crowding up behind North, Rufus, and Milagros. They all stared at Alex, who stood with his hands flung out, ordering the chaos creatures to disperse.
They're going, said Milagros in amazement. Look!
Through the smashed hole in the wall, Cole could see the chaos creatures turn and retreat, automatones leading the way. As they went, they seemed to shimmer and vanish, each one disappearing, leaving only smudges of darkness hanging like smoke against the sky. The mages of the Magisterium were cheering. Ravan, Lucas, Greta, and Alistair had disappeared, probably worried that they wouldn't be particularly welcome now that the immediate danger was over.
Call. Come here.
It was Kimaya, gesturing him over urgently. Tamara was kneeling down beside her, summoning earth magic to heal Anastasia. Cole didn't move to stop her. Nothing was going to help Anastasia now. She smiled at him, and there was blood on her teeth.
Gone,
she whispered. Tamara bit her lip. color flaring in her cheeks. She'd always hated it when Anastasia called Colum by Constantine Madden's name.
"Gone,"
Anastasia said again.
"I know what you did. I know."
He reached out and took her hand, because he had never meant for her to be hurt. He'd never meant for anyone to be hurt.
"I'm sorry," he told her. "Really, really sorry. Sometimes you're nothing like my son was. Nothing at all," she said,
then raised her voice. "Mages of the Magisterium, I have a final confession." Alex had sunk back down onto his heels.
"It was I who controlled Alex," said Anastasia,
and the whole room of mages stood breathless and silent, listening.
"It was I who controlled everything. Not Master Joseph. Not Constantine Madden. Me. They were all my pawns. You were all my pawns."
"How?" demanded Master North.
"How did you do it?" "I learned from the best," she said. "My son, Constantine, the enemy of death. He kept Jericho in his thrall for years, forcing him to be his counterweight and give up pieces of his soul. When Alex first became my stepson, I began to control him. At first it was small things. Later I made him totally obedient to Master Joseph, and he had no choice but to obey his commands."
She coughed, and blood sprayed across her white clothes.
"Do what you like with him. I don't care. I never loved him."
"Then why are you telling us this?"
Master Rufus demanded.
"I want the credit,"
Anastasia croaked.
"It was I who made him a Devard. I who caused this tower to be built. The Magisterium took my son from me, but in the end it served me and my desires."
She looked at Cole. He forced himself to smile at her, and something in her face relaxed.
"You can hurt me no more,"
she said in a whisper, and her eyes fell closed, her head lolling to the side. Tamara cried out. Gwenda had run across the room to Jasper, and he was holding her, looking grim. Alex was looking at her, his face ashen.
"What have I done?"
he asked, which seemed like a perfectly appropriate question, and one also wrenched from a place deep inside of him. Alex turned his gaze on the mages, on Master Rufus.
"You should arrest me. Someone should arrest me."
"Wait," Cole said. "You heard Anastasia. She forced him to do all those things. She forced him to become a devourer of chaos. You agreed to forgive him."
"We agreed to interview him,"
Master North said.
"Graves agreed to it anyway. And thanks to him, Graves is dead."
Alex hung his head.
"Aaron,"
Cole thought, "Aaron, look at me." But he didn't. And Cole didn't know whether to think of him as Alex or Aaron, didn't know if Aaron's soul was intact inside Alex's body, or if Aaron was an agony, crushed by guilt, or horror, or a million different other things, or maybe his soul had been shredded. Maybe he was no one now, neither Alex nor Aaron. And then Cole noticed Havoc. Havoc had crept to Alex's side and was nosing gently at his hand, the way he'd once done to Aaron. And absently, Aaron reached down and stroked the wolf's head. Cole saw Master Rufus staring at the wolf, his eyes narrowed. Before he could say anything, Mr. and Mrs. Rajavi flew up the stairs, racing into the room to embrace Tamara and Kimaya.
"You did it, my darlings," said Mrs. Rajavi, kissing them both. "You're heroes. I'm so proud of you."
Privately, Cole thought Tamara deserved all the credit, and Kimaya none. But he kept it to himself. Alistair appeared in a whirl of air, startling everyone.
"The others are gone," he said. "It seems this is finally over."
"As soon as they let Alex go," Cole insisted, and his father gave him a very confused look. Aaron, because Cole was sure Alex was Aaron, absolutely sure, except that he really wished that Aaron would say something to confirm it, didn't speak at all.
"Enough," said Master Rufus. "Let's leave this tower. It can harm no one to restrain Alex. We will keep his hands bound until he has stood trial before the assembly.
We will take Anastasia's body to the Collegium to prepare it for burial," said Master Cameron, one of the mages Cole recognized from his brief visit to the Collegium during his bronze year. Rufus nodded. It was clear everyone was now looking to him as they once had to Graves.
"Once we're sure no one else is badly hurt, we can proceed to deciding what we're going to do with Alex."
"How come you're acting as though you're in charge?" Master North, who didn't seem to have gotten the memo, demanded.
"I've been asked to join the assembly, and I've agreed. For a long time I wanted to stay distant from the mage world. It's not easy to be best known for teaching one of our great enemies, but this time I've said yes."
Master Rufus looked grave.
"Now, can we get these students to safety? They've risked enough for us."
Cole tried to say something to Aaron, but Master North was already levitating him in the air. Tamara reached out her hand to Aaron as well, but he went by without reacting. Cole's and Tamara's eyes met. The same question in both of them. Was Aaron in there, and if he was he okay?
Chapter 16. The trip back to the Magisterium was a blur. Cole found himself hurried into the infirmary, then wrapped in blankets by Master Amaranth. Tamara and Jasper were enfolded in their own blankets beside him. The news came that Anastasia had been pronounced dead, which Cole had already known. Still, the words felt stark. Gwenda came in and hugged them all. She brought Rafe and Kai with her, and they hugged Jasper a lot and high-fived Tamara and Cole. They reported that the school was celebrating, and everyone was acting like they'd never been suspicious of Cole at all. Since Kai and Rafe were also acting like they themselves had never been suspicious of Cole, he could believe it. Alistair came in to say that he, Greta, Lucas, and Ravan were getting out of the Magisterium before they wound up locked up with Alex. He'd had Master Rufus's promise that some kind of better system for dealing with the Devoured was going to be worked out at the upcoming meeting, but until then, they were going to make themselves scarce.
"I'll see you once you've graduated," Alistair promised Cole. "Don't worry about me either. I need to get back home and make sure the house and all my things are dealt with properly."
They paused awkwardly for a moment. Alistair reached down to touch Cole's cheek. It felt like a brush of air. "I'm so sorry," Cole blurted. "Because of me this happened. Because of me you're a Devoured of Air, and you'll never fix up cars again or go to the movies."
"I'll go to the movies," Alistair said gently.
I'll drift around in the back.
I won't have to pay to get in.
You know what I mean, said Call. Listen, Call, all my life I wished I'd been able to do more. More to defeat the enemy of death. More to avenge Sarah. And I've realized now, that feeling is gone. Like I've finally been able to put it to bed. I've finally been able to do enough. By destroying Alex? Call said. By raising you, said Alistair. You're a good person, Call. And a fighter. And a heck of a mage. His eyes shone. I can't tell you how worth it it's all been. Call felt his heart lift. He almost asked Alistair when they were going to head home together, but Master Amaranth was giving them a sharp look for talking. Alistair winked and disappeared. Call sighed. Master Amaranth, I was wondering if I could go rest in my room. I'm not in pain, but I am really tired. Master Amaranth regarded him suspiciously. He guessed that she had a lot of kids either trying to get in or out of her office. Her snake, coiled like a stole over her shoulders, flashed between sky blue and yellow. If you really feel you should, Colum, if you feel at all dizzy or faint, come back immediately. Can I go with him? Tamara said, standing up and shrugging off her blanket. Master Amaranth threw up her hands. I suppose so. After all, who am I to delay the heroes of the Magisterium with a little thing like making sure they're well? Jasper had looked ready to ask to go too, until Gwenda had come into the infirmary and hugged all of them. Then, all of a sudden, he'd seemed to develop a pain in his leg that required Gwenda to sit by his bed and tell him how brave he'd been. Call escaped into the hall, Tamara behind him. We're going to see Aaron, right? She asked. He nodded. If we can get down there. We don't have the key anymore. Warren let us there once, Tamara said, and proceeded to call to the little lizard. Warren! Where are you? The time is actually over. We did it. It's over. But we need your help one last time. A tongue snapped down from the ceiling, smacking Tamara in the nose and causing her to rub it vigorously. Gross! She yelled. That's disgusting, Warren. The elemental lizard made a wheezing hiss that might have been laughter. Then he crawled down from the ceiling, and with each movement, he got bigger. The gems on his back shone with a fiery light as he grew and grew and grew. By the time he was done, he was larger than Havoc, with a mouth full of gemstone teeth. Said Call. Whoa! I didn't know you could do that. How come I didn't know you could do that? In your past is your future, Warren said, and in your future, your past. Call sighed, realizing there was no chance that Warren, no matter his size, was going to give him an honest answer. Can you take us the secret way to where Alex is being held? Another secret? Yes, Warren will keep another secret. Warren will take you to the place, but you will owe Warren, and someday Warren will ask for something too. I thought saving the world was what we did in return, said Tamara tartly. Ignoring her, Warren set off. It was actually easier to follow the larger version of him. He still was able to climb along the ceiling, which made Call a little nervous. He was afraid he was going to get dropped down on. They made it through the secret entrance, into the elemental prisons, through the Chamber of Fire, and then into the chamber of air, where strange, whooshing elementals were enclosed in cages of clear crystal that reminded Call of his time in the Panopticon. They spotted Aaron easily. He was sitting on the floor of a small cell. Master Rufus was pacing in front of it.
"We're going to the assembly meeting in a few minutes," he said. "But first, I want you to tell me what's going on."
Aaron looked at the wall. It was shocking how much he looked like Aaron now to Call, and not Alex, as if the shape of his face had subtly changed. Call knew he'd never answer Master Rufus, not when the answer could get Call and Tamara in trouble. "What do you mean, what's going on?" Call said. "You heard what Anastasia said. Alex was in her thrall before. Now he's free." Rufus's expressive eyebrows rose.
"And just what are you doing here? A place you're absolutely not supposed to be. I am sure there's no mystery to that either."
Call said. When Aaron wasn't in his head, it was a lot harder to come up with the kind of answers that teachers liked. Rufus shook his head.
"I don't believe it anyway," he said flatly. "Controlling someone is powerful magic, the kind that requires constant supervision, yet Anastasia Tarquin rarely visited the Magisterium."
"She was here during our bronze year," said Tamara. "That was when Alex started to go evil."
"Even if he were being controlled," said Rufus, "even if her death freed him, he would still be Alex Strike. But Havoc approached him and treated him as if he were one of you, someone he knew and loved."
In the cage, Aaron shook his head very slightly. Call wished he could still read Aaron's mind and knew what he was trying to communicate.
"When you said you wanted to give Alex a second chance, I wondered what you knew," said Rufus. "I knew you would never forgive Alex for killing Aaron. But you were insistent that he live. And here he is, seemingly unharmed. And seemingly, no longer Alex."
Tamara swallowed.
"What do you mean?"
she whispered.
"I think you know what I mean," said Rufus. "But I want you to say it. Let me make one thing clear. The assembly meeting that will determine what happens to Alex is about to start. If you tell me nothing, I will oppose his freedom in every way I can. If you tell me the truth, now, I may help you."
"Those aren't great terms," said Call. Master Rufus crossed his arms over his chest.
"They're the only terms you're going to get."
"Fine," Call said, casting all caution to the winds. "That's not Alex. That's Aaron." Aaron looked at the ground. Master Rufus didn't seem surprised.
"Aaron didn't die on the battlefield."
"His soul went into me," said Call. "I carried him in my head, but we knew he needed a body, and Alex killed Aaron. He murdered him for no reason. It was only fair he should be the one to give Aaron back a body and a life."
"And you knew about this, Tamara?" said Rufus.
Tamara slipped her hand into Call's. Even in the tension of the moment, Call noticed the warmth of her fingers. Her touch gave him confidence, and he stood a little straighter. "I knew about all of it," she said. "I agreed to protect Call and Aaron. If Aaron hadn't taken over Alex's body, Alex would have kept on fighting until Call was dead, and he would have hurt a lot more people than that. You saw what he did to Graves. Now a good person is alive because of what we did."
"Doling out life and death, as if you were small gods,"
Master Rufus said.
"What did I teach you?
What is it about my methods that encourages my students to such heights of arrogance?
The last part came out a lot louder than Rufus usually spoke to them, even when they were disappointing him. Cole was taken aback, but it was Aaron who spoke.
It wasn't your fault.
Or I guess if it is your fault, then it's because you keep picking Makars. Rufus gave him a long look.
Go on, Mr. Stewart.
Aaron sighed.
Chaos magic isn't like other kinds.
I bet there are lots of kids at the Magisterium who've used their magic for all kinds of weird stuff, faking precious gems and selling them, enchanting magical things to make non-magic people hop on one foot or whatever, showing people movies with faked endings. That's what testing the limits of regular magic gets you. Testing the limits of chaos magic gets you this.
You sound like yourself, Aaron, Rufus said. If I wasn't so angry, I'd be amazed.
We don't want more trouble, Call said. I didn't want any of this trouble. I didn't even want to come to mage school, if you remember. Rufus looked like he was about to object, but Call cut him off. I wasn't right about that. But what I'm trying to say is that we're not going to play with life and death anymore, or anything like that. We're going to the Collegium, and we're going to keep our heads down.
Very well, said Master Rufus. I will think about what you said, and I will make my decision at the assembly meeting.
He waved a hand, and the sheer wall keeping Aaron locked away came down.
Even if you can't tell the whole truth,
he advised Aaron,
speak from the heart.
Tamara went over and hugged Aaron tightly. I'm so glad you're back, she said, and Cole felt a tremor of familiar jealousy. He pushed it away, just glad to have his friend back in the world. Aaron walked over to Cole and hugged him just as tightly as he and Tamara had embraced.
Thank you, Aaron said, his voice soft. For everything. For my life. You're my counterweight, my balance. You always will be.
Come along,
said Master Rufus, guiding Aaron to walk in front of him. With a wave of Rufus's wrists, Aaron was wearing restraints.
Before we're late for the assembly meeting.
Cole and Tamara followed Master Rufus out of the halls of elementals and through a few echoing chambers until they came to the same large room the assembly had used before. There was the same table, and this time Aaron was placed in the center, so that he stood there with everyone staring at him. Cole remembered what that had felt like.
Alex Strike.
Mrs. Rajavi began, and Cole could hear the anger in her voice. You have murdered one of our members in front of us. You are responsible for many more deaths and much disruption. Yet you claim you were under the influence of Anastasia Tarquin. Do you have any proof of that?
She confessed it, said Aaron. Everything I did was under her influence.
Do you remember being controlled?
Demanded Master North. He was sitting in the place Graves had once sat.
Do you remember what you did?
Aaron shook his head.
I don't have any memory of being a devoured of chaos, he said, which, Call figured, was the truth. Or of betraying the Magisterium. I'm loyal to the Magisterium, and I hate Master Joseph.
He spoke with a venom that would have been hard to fake.
You understand it isn't easy to believe you, said Master Milagros, but her voice was gentler. We all saw you burn the woods around the Magisterium. We saw you torture children and murder Master Rockmaple.
That was Anastasia, Aaron said.
He looked more nervous now, probably because he actually was lying, which always made him uncomfortable. It hadn't been Anastasia. It had been Alex. They're both dead now. Cole thought at him as hard as he could. For once, he missed the time he'd been able to speak to Aaron silently. You're not hurting them. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks about them. It just matters if you're okay.
Why did she do all of that?
Said Master Rufus. His expression was impossible to read.
Why use you to try to bring down the school? The assembly?
She blamed and hated all mages for the death of her sons, said Aaron. I thought at first I would be like a new son to her, but I was just something for her to use. She'd learned a little from Constantine's books. She was able to hold a small piece of my soul to control it, like the Order of Disorder controls the animals in the woods. When everyone found out about Aaron, that's when she acted. She took control of me and made me murder him and take his Makar powers. I don't remember anything after that. Tamara bumped Cole's shoulder with her own.
That was pretty good, she whispered.
Pretty good lying, she meant. Murmurs went around the room. She did confess, Cole heard someone say, and...
But what if he's not telling the truth? What if they were in on it together? Said someone else.
I think it is time to put this to a vote, said Master North. All in favor of accepting Alex Strike's story as true and allowing him back at the Magisterium, raise your hands.
Cole knew he and Tamara weren't allowed to vote. Tamara was staring at her parents with mute appeal. After a long moment, both raised their hands. It seemed to Cole that a lot of people had raised their hands, but he saw, to his horror, Master Rufus's hand was down. Aaron stared at his master, pale with shock.
All right,
said Master North, making a note.
Now, everyone in favor of sending Alex Strike to the Panopticon. Raise their hands.
Just as many hands went up, now Master Milagros's among them. But Master Rufus still kept his hands flat on the table.
Rufus,
said North, pausing with pen in hand.
I abstain,
Rufus said, in a voice as dry as gravel. Master North shrugged.
Then it's a tie, he said. Rufus, you're going to have to vote. We need a tiebreaker.
He has to, Tamara whispered. He has to vote for him.
She looked at Aaron. Cole was barely able to keep his seat. His fingernails were digging into his palms so hard it hurt. Master Rufus rose to his feet.
There is one thing that can determine the truth here, he said. Rather than a vote cast on intuition alone, I would like to see Alexander Strike and Colum Hunt pass through the fifth gate.
The room exploded. Master Rufus remained expressionless through it all, like a rock in a churning stream.
Call is my apprentice, said Rufus. Alex was my assistant. I can tell you they are both ready. The fifth gate, the gate of gold, is about doing good works in the world, about genuinely intending to do good. If the gate opens for them and allows them through, then they have learned that lesson. Note that Constantine never walked through that gate. He left the school before he could be asked to do so. If Alex can walk through the Gate of Gold, then I believe we should accept whatever he's been forced to do by circumstance. He has a pure heart.
The mages quieted down, listening to Rufus speak. When he was done, There was a long silence.
"Very well," said Master North finally. "I would very much like to see these two tested by the gate. In alchemy, gold is considered to be the purest of metals. The gate of gold will test the purity of your hearts. Fail, children, and be locked away forever."